Okay, back to the laws of Kibud Av Va'Em. Okay, so the last thing we learned, that the person is obligated to respect the father's wife, and if it's the second wife, not your mother, or the mother's husband, as long as they're alive. And afterwards, it's also appropriate, in other words, it's not a chiyuv to do it after they die. While the mother or father is alive, you have an obligation, a chiyuv to obligation to honor them out of respect to your mother. You have to respect her husband, and you have to respect the father's wife because of respecting for the father. Now, as we just started yesterday, somebody asked a question, he's not here. You have to respect your older brother. Now, the question is that only the oldest brother or anybody older than you? So there's two opinions in halacha. Some opinions say any brother older than you. In fact, it's interesting, machlekes, about a sister also. What if you have an older sister? Is it only an older brother or an older sister? So the Birkei Yosef holds that he's very machman in the dinim of Kibud Av Va'Em, but he holds that an older sister also. And according to certain opinions, anybody older than you, you have to respect. Now, even if it's a half-brother, by the way, or a half-sister from a, you know, to half, you also have to have respect for them. Okay, next. You also have to have respect for a father-in-law and mother-in-law. We find in David HaMelech, even though Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill him, but Shaul HaMelech was his father-in-law. One of his wives is Michal Bashol. So of David HaMelech, we find that he called him Avi, he gave him respect. So from there, the Gemara learns out, you have to respect your father-in-law and mother-in-law also. Now, what happens if your parents don't like the in-laws? So your parents tell you, tells their son or tells their daughter, I don't want you to go to your in-laws' house. So then the din is that you're not supposed to listen to them. You're not supposed to listen to the parents because you have an obligation to honor them, and they cannot tell you to do something against halacha. So therefore, you're not allowed to do it. Now, it's brought down that it's better, you know, to minimize the amount of going, that because, you know, they don't want you to go. But halachically, you would be allowed to go. Now, when it comes to shidduchim, there's another level over here. Okay, now, well, let me say one more thing with this. What happens, your grandfather tells you to do one thing, and your father-in-law tells you to do something else. I didn't say mother-in-law, by the way. I said your father, because mother-in-law, I guess you may have pikuach nefesh. But let's say your grandfather tells you to do something, and your father-in-law tells you to do something. So who are you supposed to listen to? So halachically, you're supposed to listen to the grandfather first. Why? Because this is Michas Elazar holds. Because even your father really has to respect the grandfather. So therefore, halachically, you have an obligation to respect your grandfather over a father-in-law or mother-in-law, same thing. Now, what happens, though, if you're talking about, we learned this thing. Your father tells you to do one thing, or your mother tells you to do something, and your grandparents tell you to do something else. So then, halachically, you have to listen to the parents, not grandparents. Even though your parents are obligated to listen to their parents, but nevertheless, it comes to your parents have prior precedent in the obligations of honoring them, and therefore you have to listen to the parents before the grandparents. And therefore it says, and Bechlal is brought down, that you should respect all your relatives, even not parents. And they bring a proof from Yaakov Avinu, when he came to Lavan, it says, you know, he saw them, so it says, he watered all of Lavan's sheep, and it says over there, the pasuk, achi imoy. He watered the sheep of Lavan, his mother's brother. So you see from there, there's a concept of respecting uncles and aunts, and not cousins, uncles and aunts, or older people, just out of respect. But it's not the same obligation of listening to them. By the way, there's an interesting issue in halacha. Let's say person passed away and the children also passed away. You know, the person passed away, the children passed away. Are the children, the grandchildren, are they obligated to say Kaddish for the grandparents? Are they obligated to say Kaddish for the grandparents? So there's opinions in Halacha, and the Rebbe mentions a letter from the Rebbe about it also, that you really should. And we know that a few times a year, the Rebbe did say Kaddish for his grandparents. So, in fact, the Poskim write, obviously if you have parents alive and they're not saying Kaddish, then you can't say Kaddish that we learned unless you got permission from the parents. But if somebody doesn't have parents, older people I'm talking about, and it's a grandparent's yard site, so according to many opinions, somebody should be saying Kaddish from the grandkids. It doesn't have to be each grandkid, but the grandkids should have somebody saying Kaddish in honor of the grandparent. That's part of the mitzvah of Kibbud Av
V'Aim. How far does it go up?
No, grandparents. Doesn't do.
Just the Kaddish is enough?
Yeah. They don't have to daven for the Omer. They don't push away other chiyuvim. No, this Kaddish is enough. I mean, they could if they want. I mean, even for a yartzei, there's no obligation to give l'chaim and mashke. There's no obligation. In fact, in the non-Chassidic world, if you look Shulchan Aruch, many people have a minute, they fast the day of the parents' yartzei. In the Chassidic world, we don't do it. In fact, we give l'chaim, then the neshama should have an aliyah. But in Shulchan Aruch, it speaks about tainus of a yard site. It's a very powerful fast. But liberal, in the Hasidic world, they don't do it. Okay. Now, there's another issue about what happens. Okay, this is from Halacha, but then you also have another issue of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, it's preferred, and let me just say this. Savas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was one in the era of Tosfos. He was a very, very holy man. The Poskim bring down, there's Ruach HaKodesh in his Beis Medrash. He was a very holy person. And there's something called, besides Sefer HaChassidim, that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wrote, there's also Savas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. There is the will that Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid left over. Many, many things. Some things are kept, some things are not kept. Just traditionally in the world. Some poskim say he only left it over for his children. Not for grandchildren or not for everybody else. For his children, his family left it over. I mean, there's a lot of things. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, you don't polish shoes the day you go on a trip. And, you know, a lot of different, you don't take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. It's dangerous. A lot of, what?
Cutting nails, I mean, we do on Friday if it's
Rosh Chodesh,
but what if Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday?
Then you don't cut nails. What's interesting, the Alter Rebbe, when he speaks in Reish Samach about the Achonis of Shabbos, the Alter Rebbe says that the minig is you don't take a haircut on Rosh Chodesh even if it's Friday. Why? Because Rabbi Rochas says sakana, it's dangerous, and therefore we don't do it. The Alter Rebbe does not bring down cutting nails. Even on Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, right next to each other, says you don't take a haircut in Rosh Chodesh, you don't cut nails in Rosh Chodesh. So there's a whole argument in the yeshivish, Chabad yeshivish world with Rabbanim and the Poskim. Is Al Rebbe not bringing down nails? He means it doesn't apply to nails at all. Or on Friday, it's different because you cut your nails every Friday, so it's a different din, and therefore, so many, many Lubavitcher Rabbanim hold that Rosh Chodesh Friday you could cut nails, not a haircut. Anyway, what I'm coming to is like this. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes that a son-in-law and a father-in-law should not have the same name. A mother-in-law and daughter-in-law should not have the same name.
So what do you do?
Shoot him. No. And it's also brought down over there that mechutanim, that was the parent, the father of the girl, the father of the boy, should not also not have the same name. Okay? So Lepoel, over there, it says that in Svarim, that explained Rabbi Yudah Chosid, it explains that, let's say, the Mechutanim, one's a Levi, one's not, it doesn't matter. Gav Mechutan, with the same name as me, but I'm a Levi and he's not, so it doesn't matter. Now, what happens if son-in-law's and father-in-law's perspective, you know, have the same name? So, from the Tzemach Tzedek, it brings down, the Rebbe brings down, there's a lot of letters printed in Chutasichas, Shaloch HaMinig, Shochem Menachem. There's a lot of letters printed from the Rebbe based on the Tzemach Tzedek and others, that if they don't have the exact name, it doesn't matter. In fact, if somebody is Yosef Yitzchak, and somebody is Yosef David, doesn't matter. It's only if all the names are exactly the same name. If one has a name Yosef and one has a name Yosef, then that's an issue. So what do? So the Rebbe holds that you add a name to one of them. You add a name to one of them, and the name you add goes first. So let's say it's Yosef and Yosef, so you call one Chaim Yosef. Whoever won, either the son-in-law picks it in. And they don't have to be called always by that name, but like that becomes their official name. And the name you add always goes first.
Doesn't matter who we change?
No. Usually, so to speak, the son-in-law changes. But lately, there's a lot of Menachem Mendels that are marrying off daughters. And a lot of the boys today are Menachem Mendel. So one case I had, yesterday, the same thing with a name. But the problem is that a Menachem Mendel, if the boy changes his name, there's a strong possibility his next daughter will also marry a Menachem Mendel. So instead of like four boys changing the name from Menachem Mendel to Chaim Menachem Mendel, Reuven Menachem Mendel, Shimon, whatever, sometimes it would make more sense for the father to change, the father-in-law to change his name, because then that's one change. And then all the other kids don't have to. Well, you can have, in Lubavitch, there was an era of, there were a lot of chanas, right? Well, my wife, before she got married, she was teaching Beis Rivka, third grade in New York. She had a class of 25 girls. 21 of them were Chana. Because they were all born the year that the Rebbe Son Chana passed away. So all the Lubavitchers named their kid Chana. Okay? So out of a class of 25, she had 21 Chanas. So one was Chana, Chani, Chan, whatever. She had a bunch of kids you had to call by the last names. I mean, how was he going to call them? So, but it's interesting. Same thing you have with Chaim Mushkas. After the Rebbetzin passed away, a lot of Chaim Mushkas were born. So you have women today that have the name Chaim Mushka, that their son's going out with a girl, it could be Chaim Mushka, and it could be an issue with the same name. So then it might be practical just that the older one changes the name because the chances of a number of them becoming, it could happen. In fact, I know one case that the guy, Menachem Mendel, he has two sons-in-law, Menachem Mendel. So he changed his name by the first one because he guessed that there was going to be more Mendels coming into the family. But that's, and then the Rebbe writes, there's no problem with it. There's no problem with it at all. There's also another issue, Rabbi Yudah Chosid, is two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters. Two brothers should not marry two sisters. Again, halachically, there's nothing wrong with it. But our custom is, based on the Rebbe Rashab's, that if two brothers marry two sisters, they should not live in the same city. In fact, the Rebbe's father, the Blavik, had a brother, Shmuel, and they married two sisters. The Rebbe's father and the Rebbe's uncle married sisters. And the Rebbe Rashab told them they shouldn't, it's fine, don't live in the same city. I know in Lubavitch there are a few cases of two brothers marry two sisters and they just don't live in the same city.